This is Outkast.
Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Can you feel it?
Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Heath Riddles, with co-host J.J. Lara. You're listening to KOOP Hornsby Austin, 91.7 FM. Outkast airs every Sunday at 6 p.m., and we are Austin's only ongoing queer radio experiment. Check us out on the web at www.outkastaustin.com. It's Sunday, June 6th, and tonight on Outkast, transgender Americans were recently dropped from federal non-discrimination legislation. It's a familiar story in Texas, where the transgender community was dropped from the hate crimes bill in the Texas legislature as well. The irony here is that when it comes to employment discrimination, as well as violent crime, transgender people are arguably more likely to be victims, and less likely to see their perpetrators brought to justice. We say arguably because statistics tracking this information are hard to come by in regard to the transgender community. Why are these crimes happening? Why aren't we keeping better track when they do? And when we have the chance to legally make changes, why do transgender Americans and Texans keep getting left behind? Tonight, Lisa Sheps of TACT, Transgender Advocates of Central Texas, is here to talk about answers to these and other important questions.
This portion of co-op programming is brought to you in part by the Austin Independent Business Alliance, who wants you to shop local. You can shop local by visiting the North Loop Strip IBIZ District, located on North Loop between Avenue H and Chesterfield. The North Loop Strip features vintage stores, bike shops, coffee houses, books, music, restaurants, and more. You can find out more about AIBA and the other three IBIZ districts at iBuyAustin.com. That's iBuyAustin.com.
That okay. Was flawless.
I'm getting better.
Yeah, you are.
I'm practicing before the show, so I'm getting better.
I think that was the best yet, JJ.
Thank you. As long as you don't change the promo, I'll be all right.
Right. Okay. So how was your fourth?
I went to go see the fireworks this Friday, and it was pretty impressive. Saw a bunch of families, their kids and their dogs, partners, you know, cute men and boys. You know, I was just there to watch the boys and the men. It was my first 4th of July in Austin, so it was pretty fireworky.
Uh-huh.
It was awesome.
They don't have that back home?
Of course we do, but we have them by the bay. It's a lot more impressive. You see the lights reflect off the water, and you have the music playing to the fireworks display. So it's pretty neat. So.
Now, do they have a lot of people shooting their guns up in the air down in South Texas?
Well, I'm going to say there are, especially around the holidays.
You got to be careful.
Yeah, even the police won't go out there at midnight when the holidays are about because it's, you know.
I remember one time I was in New Orleans with my ex, and they had a news story on the news that the night of July 4th.
Mm-hmm.
They said, do not be shooting your guns up in the air because those bullets come down and they
right.
hurt.
So. People don't get it. Just I don't get it. But, you know, my people are going to shoot off their...
After a few beers and, you know.
Dios mío, protect us all.
That's right. Well, I'm excited tonight about the show, JJ. We've got Lisa Sheps in the Hez House. At the age of 41, Lisa Sheps, our guest tonight, told her friends and family about her intention to transition from male to female. That launched Lisa's career as an activist. I can combine the word activist and advocate. She became very active in the Chicago area, serving on the board of Illinois Gender Advocates and volunteering with Equality Illinois, the statewide LGBT organization up there. Lisa also worked with such groups as the Chicago Gender Society, CGS, and the Howard Brown Center. On the national level, Lisa served on the board of the International Foundation of Gender Education and was a founding board member of the National Center for Transgender Equality. In 2003, Lisa moved to Texas and immediately got involved with Equality Texas, where she currently serves as a board member, and Out Youth. She is the founding member and current board chair of Transgender Advocates of Central Texas. Not limiting her advocacy work to queer issues, Lisa was also appointed by Mayor Will Wynn, bless his heart, to serve on the City of Austin Human Rights Commission. Lisa Sheps, welcome to Outkast.
Thank you so much, Heath and
That's
JJ.
Quite a mouthful.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, God, I sound great.
Wow.
You sound like a lot of stuff.
That's yeah. an impressive resume.
Let me make one little correction. Okay. I wasn't the founding member of TACT. I was a founding member.
Okay.
There
Sorry.
Were actually
Thank
six
Thanks.
Of us that started it.
Uh-huh. Wow. Oh, great. Okay. And good job.
Thank you.
By the way.
Thank you. That's important work.
I want to start out, Lisa, and just talk a little bit about your own personal experience as a transgender person. I'm just interested in knowing sort of how you came to terms with that and how it solidified in your mind and you began to identify as transgender. And how did your friends and family react when you started to articulate it?
Well, it's a very complicated question that we could do, you know, several hours on.
I'm
so
sure.
I'll give you the nickel tour.
Okay.
I always knew I was transgender from a very young age, but, you know, we learn our best to assimilate. So I did a really good job of assimilating into male society. And of people my age, male to female transsexuals, it just tends to boil up at around the age of 40. And that's exactly what happened
really?
With me. And you have a, you know, we talk about, in the queer community, everybody says you make choices. And we did have a choice. You have a choice of doing the hard thing, which is maintaining your life as a male person or mm-hmm. a female person if you're an FTM. Or you just work and be true to yourself. And
right.
you make that decision to transition, which is what I did.
Which has to be the most terrifying decision.
It is, especially when you transition from the most protected class in this country to one of the most disenfranchised classes.
Which is going from white – I'm sorry. What does that mean? Spell it out for me.
Oh, exactly what you were about to say,
okay.
Heath, because you're smart.
I'm right there with you.
I was a white, upper-middle-class male
uh-huh.
Business person, businessman, very successful.
Uh-huh.
And then when I transitioned, I became female. And not
uh-huh.
only female, but a transgender female.
Right.
And that loss of credibility was a very interesting occurrence. You know,
I cannot imagine.
You know, we that grow up with male privilege don't realize that everything we say is taken at face value.
Mm-hmm.
And now everything I say is questioned.
Suspect.
Yes. Mm. Without going into too terribly much detail in my coming out experience, everybody reacted almost exactly as I expected them not to.
Right.
By and large, my experience has been a very good one.
Good for you.
Yeah.
You're lucky.
Lost.
I would think.
I am lucky. It all depends on what happens. As I tell my friends that are having problems with family, it's a patience thing. And you know, we deal with this for years and years and years. And our loved ones who we come out to are hearing about it for the very first time. So you usually, if you wait, and especially if it's a family member, you know,
mm-hmm.
I think the parent wants to love their child and
yeah,
wants to find
absolutely,
a way to do it.
Absolutely. God bless them. In researching for this show and trying to get ready for it and trying to figure out what I would ask about, I realized how ignorant I am, you know, about a lot of issues surrounding the transgender community. I've always seen myself sort of as a spokesperson and a leader, you know, among my friends, this maybe sort of more conservative group of gay guys. Having said all that, I think it's interesting. I think it's important for us to start to educate people. I noticed that you used the word transsexual and taking it all the way back to like transgender 101. Is transsexual and transgender, are those two terms interchangeable? It almost sounds like you used them. But transgender, transgender, transvestite.
Transgender.
That's a new
I
one.
I love that one. That's going to be the new one.
What's the other one I was trying to think?
Well,
of?
There's a,
you know,
there's
drag
a lot. Let me just stop you before you go through the whole list.
Thank you.
Because you'd never be able to finish.
Right.
The easy thing to remember is, first of all, transsexual and transgender are not interchangeable.
Okay.
Transgender is an umbrella term that means anybody that defies what is stereotypically known as male or female.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that defies gender norms is transgender. And mostly it's, you know, people that self-identify as transgender, but there are people, effeminate men and masculine women that don't necessarily self-identify as transgender, but they're sort of getting blurring the lines.
So a butch lesbian could be transgender, even you know, in
well,
the broadest.
Well, in the eyes of, you know, if you're talking about policy and things like that, yes.
Okay.
All the other terms, transsexual, crossdresser,
mm-hmm.
genderqueer. There's words that we can't say here that all have to do with different expressions of people's gender, mm-hmm. which is a continuum. I don't mm-hmm. think anybody is really strictly male, strictly female in their own personal gender identity.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk about 101, let me just talk a little bit, and because especially in the advocacy space, we hear a lot about gender identity and expression.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And gender identity is how you feel on the inside.
Okay.
And gender expression is how you express yourself on the outside. And sexual orientation is who you love.
Right.
So sexual orientation and gender identity are completely separate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things I spend a lot of time educating people on, and especially mm-hmm. within the queer community, which I think we have a lot of work to do within the queer community.
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, it's almost like that's where we need to start.
In a lot of ways. Yeah.
But tell me again what you said. You said sexual orientation. Say that part again.
Sexual orientation and gender identity are mutually exclusive.
Right.
You know, sexual orientation is who I love. Gender identity is who I am.
Gotcha.
So within the transgender community, you have transgender people that identify as heterosexual,
mm-hmm.
as gay or lesbian, as bisexual. I had an interesting time in my life when I was in the midst of transition and sometimes identified male and sometimes I identified as female. I was dating a woman in a lesbian relationship.
Right.
But when I was identifying male and we were seen on the street, people looked at us and saw us as a heterosexual couple.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was identifying female and we were seen on the street, we were seen as a lesbian couple. So right. sexual orientation became very interesting at that point.
So it's perception from whatever people are inferring about you, that is, basically.
More or less. But I think it's really important to understand that sexual orientation and gender identity are really separate things.
That's a good place to start.
It is.
If we can get that across.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But are there a couple of those terms that some people might think are kosher that we can throw out the window? Can we stop saying transvestite?
Yeah, it's pretty much transvestite was a word that was coined with sort of a more clinical kind
mm-hmm.
of term.
Okay.
Cross-dresser would be the way to say
right.
that. I will say that the younger people today, the younger trans people today, are really defining male or female. I personally sort of like the gender binary. I like vive la différence.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
I like that there's men and women, but I'm finding that especially in the younger groups of people mm-hmm. coming up through the transgender in the transgender world, is I'm becoming in the minority. And
yeah.
a lot of transgender people don't identify as either male or female.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, and I think it's also interesting, since we're talking about this, you know, it does get really ambiguous sometimes. And I think it's interesting to point out my experience getting to know the transgender community. I have found, you know, one thing I'm learning is that passing, as you say, as one, you know, very extreme example of one sex or the other, is less really important to a lot of transgender people. And I think that's natural. If you have grown up feeling a certain way inside, yet society has treated you a certain way based on your outside, a true expression of how you feel is not going to be purely one or the other.
Yeah, it really runs the gamut. And, you know, as we do our work in the advocacy space, and being transgender isn't the panacea that it is now, and especially was 5 or 6 years ago, it's going to be okay for people to express their gender that isn't strictly male or strictly female.
What do you think is the biggest, and I'm maybe throwing you this question out of the blue, but what do you think is the biggest misunderstanding? I mean, what is the biggest problem or the biggest hurdle that the transgender movement has to overcome?
God, you know, that is a really tough question, because I think it is a fluid question. I think one of the things that we work really hard to is to find a space where we can basically live our lives. And many, many transsexuals, and those are people that people like myself that transition from one gender to another on a permanent basis. There are
right.
a lot of people that do, you know, drag queens, cross-dressers, and things like that. They have many of the same issues that we have in terms of advocacy. But they're sort of part-time. So they slip in and out
mm-hmm.
of this. But a lot of transsexuals really just sort of want to live their life and really not have to deal with all the issues.
Right.
And that's why there are people like me, and there mm-hmm. are organizations like TACT
mm-hmm.
to get out there and really work for the rights of those people that don't want to.
Right.
So I think that's one of our biggest challenges.
For the people who would rather just, look, I've cleared that hurdle.
Yep.
I want to live my life now and not have to think about this every single day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yep.
Well, thank you for doing, you know, what you're doing then. Over the years, I've heard a lot of grumblings from, you know, within
grumble,
that.
Grumble.
From within that conservative kind of group of gay guys that I was talking about earlier. It's rare, and it's not ever really articulated, I don't think, so clearly. But I think there's a lot of times the impression that the transgender movement is slowing the gay rights movement down politically.
Right.
And I think we'll get into the ENDA and the hate crimes legislation and how that tragically all plays out every time in a second. But just in terms of that, how do you respond to that? And
what's interesting, my own personal path on that issue has sort of altered, because I originally thought, well, you know, transgender people shouldn't necessarily be part of the LGBT community. But here's the most important thing. As long as the world, our country and society in general lumps us together, we are together, like it or not. And when you talk about gender expression and the protections for gender expression, there are a lot of masculine women and feminine men that don't identify as transgender, but gender expression covers them for the same protections that transgender people would get.
Mm-hmm.
So we are inextricably connected, right, like it or not.
Whether we like it or not,
whether we like
either
it
one
or
of
not,
us.
We are there.
Uh-huh. So then let's do talk about ENDA and the hate crimes bill whenever it was passed back in, I don't even remember, in the Texas state legislature.
I wasn't here. Because if I was here, we'd be part of it.
Let's say 99.
Let's say 99.
Okay.
Okay.
So back in 99, when we were all in junior high school.
And I would speak for yourself. I was in elementary school.
Okay. we have this great idea. We all get together, the L's, the G's, the B's, and the T's, and we're going to pass this legislation that will for once get it on the books that you can't beat us up and go unpunished, that you can't discriminate us or fire us just because of who and what we are and go unpunished. We all get together, and it sounds like a great idea. But then by the end of it, the transgender community gets dropped off. Now, a cynical person may say that we go into it knowing that that's exactly what's going to happen, and it's this great, elaborate, choreographed, you know, dance. I choose to hope that that's not how it really goes. But why does that keep happening?
Well, first of all, I think it's changing. So I'll start with the good news first. I think that's going to change a lot over the next few years. But I think that what happens, and it isn't choreographed, and it is all at the same time, because mm-hmm. you're going to look back at Texas, you can look back at National ENDA, and you can look back at a lot of different other New York states' fights for non-discrimination legislation, and there becomes a moment when the legislators go to the chief sponsors, which is usually a LGBT statewide organization like Equality Texas in Texas's case, and say, you know what? I think we can get this passed if you take transgender inclusion out. And everybody freaks out and gets really scared, and they go, okay, we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
When in reality, it has been proved out that if you leave gender identity and expression in, it passes just as easily and handily.
Where have we seen that happen?
You've seen it happen in lots of places.
Yeah.
You've seen it happen in actually Pennsylvania
mm-hmm.
is a very interesting situation where gender identity expression was passed by a Republican legislature and signed by a Republican governor.
Oh, my Lord.
So, yeah. It's doable. It's not nearly as scary as it's made out to be. But that's exactly what happened with ENDA on the national scene.
Well, and in Texas, like I can just see it happening. You know, we're trying so hard to get this passed, and you know, they come to us and say, "Well, the good old boys, you know, we can only tolerate so much. You know, we're trying to work with y'all here." And to me, that's just, it's tragic. You know, and it's ironic because here we have this group within a group within a group that is really the one probably suffering the most discrimination and the most violence and still getting the crap kicked out of them, you know, on a regular basis. The people who do it are going free. And they're the ones who keep getting left off.
Right, and I think that one of the arguments we heard with ENDA, and we've heard in the past a lot, is these incremental gains. And an incremental gain is only an incremental gain if the whole group moves forward incrementally.
Right.
leapfrogging isn't, you don't come back for people. It just doesn't happen.
Right.
But proud to say that right now there are 13 states, mm-hmm. as well as Washington, D.C., that covers gender identity and expression, as well as 91 municipalities, which includes Austin, Texas.
So mm-hmm. in Austin, we can't. What does that mean for transgender people?
Gender identity is a protected class in employment, housing, and public accommodation, as well as in the HIV and AIDS ordinance.
But that's just for the city?
It's within the city limits.
I see.
And unfortunately, as I've learned on the Human Rights Commission, our city ordinance, doesn't have a whole bunch of teeth. There's not a lot of, I believe there's a financial, you can get a little money from your employers if you're fired because of being transgender. But you can't get your job back.
Right.
And it's not a lot of money.
Right.
So that's why federal legislation is so very important.
Lisa, what do you say to people who might say to you as a transgender, transsexual woman, why not just play the cards God gave you? Why make such a big deal of it? Why get a surgery? Why create this big movement, this big struggle? You know, why not just grin and bear it?
Well, we didn't create the struggle, first of all. So those people that are saying, why create the struggle? We didn't create it. And until you're in a situation where you find yourself so unhappy and at the bottom of your rope and you cannot live your truth, you know, then it's hard for you to see it from that side. But you can look at the statistics of suicide within the transgender community,
right.
and you can see how much pain is out there, and you can see how much insecurity. And you look at transgender people of my age, and you see people that have created jobs for themselves where they don't have to interact with other people because they're just so afraid of other people. So you see these people that are introverted and introspective and hold up, and then when they decide to live their truth,
mm-hmm.
and they decide to say, okay, I'm transgender and I'm going to transition,
mm-hmm.
Many, many, many times those people change. They flower. So I answer that person because we need to live our truth, just as
right.
you need to live your truth.
Exactly. Well, and I think the answer to that question is where there is some really true common ground among the L's, G's, B's, and T's, because it's similar to, why are you making the choice to, you know, there's this perception among a lot of, you know, ignorant, and I mean that in the sweetest way, mm-hmm. people who think that we make this choice because we just want to be different. You know, we're artsy fartsy. We just want to be crazy kooky and different. And we've just made this decision when really we live our young lives with this knowledge, this certainty in our hearts that of who we are and what we need to be. And to be true to ourselves, we have
right.
to express it.
And one of the things that I never have to say to the queer community is the idea of choice. I mean,
right.
we all understand that.
Right.
Can I backtrack?
Yeah, please.
Because something you said made me think about the one that you had asked me, the single most difficult perception and things to deal with.
Right.
And there is a big one. And this is specifically with regards to transsexuals. Surgery. What's between my legs does not make me – now, this is going to be arguable to many people, but mm-hmm. does not make me a man or a woman. So a lot of people
right.
say, you've had the surgery. And I don't answer that question because it's nobody's business.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important to understand that in our community, a lot of people opt to not ever have any surgery for a lot of different reasons. It's expensive. From the female to male side, there's not a lot of options. So I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions we have to face. People don't wake up one morning, say, I'm going to get a sex change, go have surgery, and bam, they're the other sex. Doesn't work that way.
Right.
So.
Well, Lisa, it's an interesting conversation.
And, that's it.
Well, you know, we're running out of time, unfortunately. It's 3 minutes. I told you it would go quick. But hopefully you'll come back, because I think there's a lot more to talk about. And as you said, it's a fluid discussion, and the sort of the boundaries of the of it all change. And I think it's interesting to keep this going.
Yes,
Lisa,
thank you.
Lisa, you are the board chair of TACT, Transgender Advocates of Central Texas. You can learn more about the organization, as well as an upcoming fundraiser. I forgot to let you mention that. Did you want to talk about Little Lucifer's Ball real quick?
Well, yes.
You can't talk prices or anything.
Well, because we don't have prices set yet.
Okay.
But do mark your calendars. October 17th will be the very first annual Little Lucifer's Luau.
I love
sort of
the
a
name.
Devilish Hawaiian theme. This is going to be an annual fundraiser to help send people to Creating Change, done by the task force each year.
Awesome.
So please come October 17th.
And also to learn more about TACT, which is the Transgender Advocates of Central Texas, you can visit www.tactx.org. Lisa Sheps, thank you very much for coming to Outcast.
Thank you.
You're listening to Co-op because it's programming you can't find anywhere else. You appreciate the uniqueness of the station, but did you know that there are thousands of other listeners just like you listening right now? It's true! And those other listeners appreciate the support of local businesses and organizations that provide program sponsorships. Learn more about how your business can help make public radio possible by contacting our business office at 472-1369 or email promotions@coop.org.
Everybody, just a couple of announcements of the ongoing Center Queer community happening in Austin. Tuesday, July 8th from 6:30 p.m., Algo's film series featuring the film Watermelon Woman. And they're also doing some other events. July 12th from 2 to 3 p.m. at the Center for African and African American Studies workshop and discussion, Where is the Queer and Black Revolutionary Politics? Also that same day at 7 p.m., they're having party, Too Hot to Handle, Can You Take the Heat? Performances, and there will also be a performance at 9 p.m. So, for more information on those, go to algo.org. Also, July 10th in Amarillo, Equality Texas screening for The Bible Tells Me So. For more information, equalitytexas.org. July 18th, Oil Can Harry's annual Red Hot Party benefiting Project Transitions. For more information on that, visit oilcanharrys.com. Also, July 22nd, Tuesday, AGLCC's monthly networking luncheon. For more information on that, visit their website, aglcc.org. And also, Out Youth has several events happening in July, including Chocolates for Charities at Charlie's on Tuesday, July 22nd at 6:30 p.m. So keep your eye out for that, people.
Good stuff. Thanks, JJ.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you're looking for a great way to meet people outside the bars and get involved with a great local organization, the Austin Gay and Lesbian International Film Festival is looking for volunteers. For more information about that, visit www.aglif.org. Next week here on Outcast, Stephen Mosier, the Austin Chronicle's style maven. Expect the usual, fashion, gossip, and lots of glamour, but we'll also be talking to Stephen about his current focus, battling cancer. Then on July 20th, crystal meth is tearing our community apart. Literally, it is killing us. We'll take a look at addiction, the new plague of LGBT America. You know, more and more Austinites are tuning into Outcast, and for that, I thank you, our growing list of loyal listeners. Thanks once again also to tonight's guest, Lisa Sheps. Thank you, Lisa. Mm-hmm. Stay tuned for Virtual Noise with Mark Boyden coming up next. We'll see you next week. Until then, I'm Heath Riddles for JJ Lara. Hi, JJ.
Hey, bye.
Reminding you to keep Austin queer.
Can you feel